first month of our new business year. And here in Nehemiah 3, Nehemiah and the team of men and women that were working under his leadership rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. And you just read about it in chapter 3, verses 4 through 32. And I know you read a lot of names, but there's one word that is repeated over and over again. I wonder if you noticed that word when you were reading it. Probably you didn't. But I want you to think about it. The word is repaired. In Nehemiah 3:4, I'll read it. It says, "Next unto them repaired Miramoth." And then if you read 5:3-5, it says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired." Their nobles didn't do it, but the Kohites repaired. I look down at 3:6. It says, "The old gate repaired Jehoiada." And then I like this one. Go to 3:12 of Nehemiah. It says, "Next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his," what? "Daughters." See, it was men and women that were involved in repairing the wall that had been burned and broken down. And another word for repaired is the words to fix something. Now, Brother Zukowski's here, and he tells me he calls his wife that repairs something that needs to be fixed, he calls her a fixer. A fixer. Someone that prepares things that need to be fixed. All these people and all these families were clicking around the man of God called Nehemiah to repair, rebuild, and to fix up the wall around God's city and God's temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. Now, the Holy Spirit of God led a team effort under God's man. And that's what the Bible says, even about the king of Israel in Samuel. It says that a band of men helped him whose hearts the Lord had touched. I believe the team we have here, my wife calls it the dream team, the team of workers we have here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, they're touched by God, the Holy Spirit, to do the work. And these people in Nehemiah's day, they fixed a burned and broken down wall, even though they had much opposition and enemy hindrances. Because of what they repaired or fixed, the people of God had really good success under the leadership of their God called Governor Nehemiah. Before that, they were a reproach. They weren't a team, and the team is everything, Sarge. And they were a reproach. I have to give credit to Sarge's team, Oklahoma. They put on an awesome team effort last night. The overall theme of our church here is building lives on solid foundations. And that's why this morning I want to emphasize from Nehemiah 3 the importance of your repairing and rebuilding things that, listen to me, your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, may have broken down in your life, have broken down in your home, have broken down in your marriage, have broken down in your family, have broken down in the church, have broken down in our nation. Now, our new church and school's business year starts this month. We start our year September, like the Israelis do. The new year is in September now. We start in September, and we are now in the second Sunday of September, so it's 2026 right now that our business year starts for the school and church. So I want to roll out my God-given theme for this year. Last year, last September, our theme was Thrive, Don't Just Survive in 2025. And the Lord has been helping us by pouring upon us many blessings. I mean, look at the election last year in November. The many blessings God has been pouring out on us. The November election and then the 2025 inauguration. Blessings poured out upon us so that we could thrive in our nation, our church family. You could thrive in your marriage. You could thrive in your home and in your life. And so I'm preaching now to tell you, you've got to preserve and benefit for what the Lord is doing. You know, every day the Bible says the Lord is pouring out benefits. But those benefits are not always used and not always a blessing to you because of the fact that you have things that you're leaking out. You're leaking them out. And just like Nehemiah and his team fixed the wall around the city and the house of God, so there are things I believe that you need to fix in this business year 2026. So I'm going to preach on this message that goes along with our theme for the year, leaks for you to fix in 2026, and it's from Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, you say, are you going to preach on all these names? No, you read them. I'm going to preach on three things you need to fix in 2026. Three things you need to fix and repair in 2026. And they are leaks. I'm going to use the term leaks. And the first thing is you need to fix your leaking of your time. You've been leaking your time away. I believe the Lord has blessed and is getting ready this year to pour out more of His blessings upon your life, upon Scranton Revival Baptist Church, upon your family. If you're a saved person, He's getting ready to do that. If you're not yet saved, you're not yet born again, He's offering you these blessings. And if you pour something, I don't know if you've done this, I've done this. How many have poured something, you wanted to drink it, you poured it into a glass or a cup, and the thing either broke and it all leaked out or it had a leak in it, and you were disappointed when you tried to drink it, huh? Yeah, I've done that. And that is very disappointing. You know, it's disappointing to God when He pours blessings into your life, and you just waste them on yourself and on selfishness and on sinful things and just on wasteful things that are not important. You know, there was a guy that I've talked about many times. He was in prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and he would pray real loud and long. He'd say, Lord, is that me? He'd pray, and then he'd say, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And he'd pray that all the time, week after week. Finally, his wife said, probably shouldn't have done this, but she did it. She said, out loud, so the whole church could hear it, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. Don't do it, Lord, he leaks. She would know. Amen. Nobody knows you like your people that live with you, right? Don't do it, he leaks. Well, have you been leaking away your time? Too much time on social media, too much time watching the wrong thing, reading the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, too much time just wasting time when you could invest it. Have you? I'm saying that's how the Lord feels. When He has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, He's given you the gift of His Word, He's given you the gift of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning church that's available for you, but time and time again, you've wasted opportunities to come to services. Time and time again, you've wasted opportunities to get involved, and you haven't taken full opportunity that you've been given, and your time has been leaked away. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. People die, and they go away, and their time, sadly, has been leaked away on lesser things before they die. That means that much of what the Lord has given you, unfortunately, has leaked out. And it reminds me of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Here's what he said. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Aren't that what we're doing this morning? Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little, spiritually speaking. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. People work, they get money, they're in debt, they're wasting money. Stop wasting your time. So let's talk about ways for you to leak away your time. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, redeeming the time For the days are evil. Listen, that's redeeming. That's reclaiming the time. Rescuing the time. Taking it away from wasting it. Redeeming the time. That's what you need to do. You need to stop leaking away your time. You know, I've used this illustration. Here's a guy walking along, and he has a bunch of money, and he's got it in a bag, you know, bunch of money, $100 bills, everything else. He's got it in this bag, and he's walking, and it's a windy day, and the bag kind of opens up and falls, and the wind takes all those $100 bills, $20 bills, and they're flying all over. Now, if that were you, what would you do? I know what you'd do. You'd be like running, trying to get that money back. You're trying to get it back, put it back in the bag, right? And let's say you got a lot of it back. That'd be great. You know, you got it back. You feel good. I'm sure some of you have done that. You've lost money and gotten it back. But let me tell you something. When you lose time, you can never get it back. When you lose time, there are no do-overs. That's why Ecclesiastes said when you're young, you don't think about time, but you need to realize that you need not to waste your time. So you got to stop the leaks of wasting time in your life. You know, as a pastor, I see the bills, and sometimes we had a water bill not too long ago, $500 for 1 month. Just recently, I opened our water bill, and I thought it was $125, something like that, and I found out it was the City Lights Church up the roads bill, and I said, oh, this is great. And then I realized it's City Lights. I looked at our bill, it was $400. I said, something's wrong. That's too much money for water. And you call the water company, and you say, I found something wrong. They say, tough, fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Pay the bill. And I asked Brother Joe, I said, what's wrong, Brother Joe? He's the guy, the deacon over the building. He said, Pastor, you got a water leak. This time it's been in the ladies' bathroom before. Now it's the men's toilet. It's always the toilet. And you know what? We're leaking money down the drain when that happens, and I don't like that. And I want it stopped. And thankfully, I know John Payone, he was working on it. Did he fix it yesterday? Thinks he fixed it. So we'll check it, and I'll check the bill. And I'll let you know. You know, we had a light bill the same month, something like, I'm close here, not exact, $385, a light bill, electric bill. So you put that together with the $400, that's a lot of money going down the drain, friends. And I said, what's going on? Well, I found out the air conditioners were running overnight through the summer. Somebody's leaving. I had a deacon's meeting. We tried to deal with that, made sure everybody's got their responsibilities because I'm off counseling and doing it. Somebody's got to turn off the lights up here in the air. It's money wasted. Now, I'm just saying that that's what we can do with our time if we don't stop and think about it and realize our time. I was out the other day, and I saw a brother in Christ. And I called his name, and I said, hey, so-and-so. And it was a big crowd around. I said, so-and-so needs to come back to church. Like that. I mean, it was loud. And he saw me, and a big smile broke out in his face, and I came up to him. He gave me a big hug. Love you, preacher. And what had happened, you know, we have blessings in this church, and we had a faithful soul winner that led him to get saved by Jesus. And the guy started coming to church. He got baptized. He joined the church. He started coming. Guess what? God started blessing him. Yeah. God started blessing him. But then what happened? He had a very tempting distraction. Let me say how distractions happen. A lot of times it's something in your life you're very attracted to and it pulls you away. And it pulled him away from church. And he stopped coming. And then it was a long, 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 long time. And we would run into him and we would talk to him, help him out. We would talk to him, help him out. But you know what? He stayed away. And all that time that you stay away from a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is wasted time. It's wasted time. It's down the drain. Listen to me. It's time down the drain. And you'll regret it. And so, you know, this guy, He finally said to me, when I talked to him, he said, "You know what? I'm going to come back, Pastor. I'm going to come back." Now, he hasn't come back yet. I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him. But God led me to see him and exhort him to come back. He said to me, "Pastor, I know that I, listen to me, have been wasting time." Could that be something in your life? That you've not been redeeming the time? You know, the good is the enemy of the best. You say, "Well, I'm doing something good." That's right. Is it the best? Is it the best? One of the things that you need to fix in 2026 is the leaking away of the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days even, the weeks of your life. Will you commit this morning? Don't waste God's given gift of time, the most precious thing, more precious than money. Or will you waste your opportunities to get to church, waste your opportunities to pray, waste your opportunities to fast? You know, we think that our life consists in the abundance of things we can put in our mouth and put down in our belly, and our God is our belly. But the Bible says no, 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 no. That's not the thing that your life consists of. How about this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting? We pray for more of the Holy Spirit's power, more revival. How about some fasting with it? How about a sacrifice to focus your prayer? I'm just saying that some of you here have to fix your missing opportunities to receive God's saving grace. You know, I'm here and you guys come to church. But are you really saved? Are you really born again? Have you ever been born again? If you're born again, there'll be a change in your life. Amen? I was born again. Have you been born again? I'm talking to you kids. I'm talking to teenagers. I'm talking to the adults. Have you been born again? And I was born again when I was 17. And I was reading the Bible and I realized that I can't save myself. And I said, "God, how can I be saved? Save me." And then he showed me that it's a free gift, that Jesus died and offered it to me, and I received it as a free gift. I gave up any hope of saving myself. Well, the other day, I was at Walmart. Listen up, guys. I was at Walmart, and there's a guy named Tim Graff. You ever heard of Steffi Graff, the tennis player? He said, "I'm Tim Graff." He had a big, big motorcycle, 1,000cc, big thing. He said, "I got Harleys, I got this and that." I liked the guy, talked to him, fairly young man. I asked him two questions. I gave him the gospel, and I said, does that make sense to you? He said, "Yes." I said, "Would you like to receive Christ?" He said, "Oh, I'm already saved." I said, "Well, wait a minute. I asked you that second question. You said it was good things, your good works. You were trusting your good works." I said, "Tim, in your head you believe Jesus is the Savior, but in your heart you're trusting Tim Graff. That tells me that." Because I said, those two questions I asked you show me that. And then I realized he believed in Christ in his head, but his heart, he was trusting himself. Sit up there, my friend. Yeah. In his heart, he was trusting himself. And I said, "You need to transfer that, and you need to trust Jesus only." I said, "Part of you, you're trusting your goodness, and you're not good. You're not going to make it before God. When you stand before God, he's going to cast you into hell." I said, "So let me give an illustration." I said, "There's two fishing boats." And I said, "Here's a fishing boat, Tim Graff, and you're fishing in it, and you're in shark-infested water." Can you imagine all these sharks? And you're fishing for big fish, and you see a hole in the boat, then you see another hole, a bunch of holes, and the boat is going to do what? He said, "Sink." And I said, "You're going to be eaten by the sharks." How many have heard of shark attacks? Eaten by the shark, yeah. And you're going to be shark bait. And I said, "You pray to God, Lord, I'm cooked, save me." And I come up to you with a boat, and it says on the boat, "Jesus Christ." And I pull up to your boat, and I say, "You're sinking." He says, "Yeah, save me." I said, "Good." I said, "Get into my boat. Step out of that boat. It's lost." And he goes, "Well, it's got some holes, but it's still up." And he steps into my boat with 1 foot and keeps 1 foot in his boat because he's got some things in his boat he wants to keep. Plus, he wants to keep fishing. And he says, "Can I keep fishing?" And he keeps fishing. And I say, "You're not safe." And his boat goes down. What's going to happen to him? Shark bait. Eaten up. He's going to be eaten by the sharks. And so I said, Tim, you need to put both of your feet upon Jesus. You need to transfer your faith from yourself to Jesus. Some of you haven't done that. Listen to me. Today, the Lord is saying, put all your trust in me. You can't save yourself. Trust in me with all your heart to save you. And he will do it. He said, I'll do it. Why don't you do it? Well, I still want my boat with holes. I still want my lunch in my old boat. I want my drugs. I want my rock and roll. I want my life. Whatever it is, my friend, trust Jesus. He will give you a home in heaven, but he'll also give you a new life. He'll become the Lord of your life once you trust him. But you just need to trust him, or you're going to split hell wide open. I give you my word today based on the word of God. That will happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope today, because it's urgent, that you step onto the right boat. So I talked to him about that, and Tim said, you know what? I understand what you're saying. I want to trust Jesus. Amen. And he prayed to receive the Lord. I got his address. I'm praying for him, and gave him a track and all the rest. Don't waste your opportunity that you have. I don't know why you came today, but don't waste your opportunity to be saved, because God wants you to be saved. You say, I'm just a teenager. I got saved as a teenager. I was 17, and it changed my life. You know, I was out visiting the other day, and there's this little girl about 9, 10 years old. Her name is KD. And KD cheerleads. And can I say something? I told KD this. I said, when I was growing up, schools didn't have sports on Sunday. They recognized that people needed time for God. But today, their God is sports. Now, I love sports. Sarge, you know that. I love sports, but it's not my God. It's not my God, and it's not going to keep me away on Super Bowl from church. It's not my God. And I hate it that that happens. And KD said, I'm in cheering, so I can't come. And so I told her what we were doing and all this. She said, that stupid sports, they're keeping me from it. But she's still doing the sports. I said to her, I'll wait for you, KD. I didn't say, well, you'll waste your time, but I'll wait. I'll wait, and I'll get you. Well, that won't be till the end of October, Eli said. That's a long time. I said, Eli, you're young. To you, that's a long time, but to me, that's like that. I'll wait. Because, see, as you get older, let me tell you something. Time goes faster. Here, you're older already, and you're here, and you're like, how did I get here? And time goes faster. Now, when you're young, you don't think, you think, I got all the time in the world. No, you don't. It's going to go faster and faster, and it's going to be gone, and you're going to be, if you're not saved, you're going to be in hell, so you need to get saved. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, Mickey, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He invested his blood, his sweat, his tears, his time on this earth, didn't he, Jesus? For opportunities so that you would use your opportunities and your time for his glory and for your own good and for your family's good and your community's good. And I believe that God wants you indeed to do that, to fix your time. I believe he's pleading with you this morning, pleading. Stop leaking away your time. Stop missing the opportunities. You know, I had a guy one time, he was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he was so busy, and he said that when God wanted to get something done, he gave it to him to do because so many people were wasting their time, they wouldn't get the job done. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit and are not wasting their time, they're doing more than they should be doing. And they're going to get the rewards. You're going to miss out. Things for you to fix in business year 2026. You need to fix the leaks of your time. Second thing you need, and I'll be briefer with this, you need to fix the leaks of your money. When it comes to money and things, you can't take them with you. You know, I'm dealing with my mother, and she always says to me, who's going to get this? What's going to get that? And I say, whoever gets it, they're going to leave it like you're leaving it. I remember my dad 3 years ago passing away. He was in the nursing home, and he's like, Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? And I said, Dad, right here, right here, right here, right here. I understand. You know, you want your wallet. I do too. I don't want to lose it. You know, I'm a steward of everything I've got. Everything I got's the Lord's, and I can't take it with me. What you get after you die, that's what you keep. Did you hear me? And so he is no fool, Jim Elliot, that gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's an investment. Your time, your money. You're a manager of the money, and you need to manage it wisely. I'm not going to be foolish with money now. I'm smart with money, I trust. The Bible says you're to be. The Bible says that you're a manager, you're not the owner, but that doesn't mean that you should be stupid and waste it. And I'm thinking of my cars, because I want to share this with you. 2017, I came back into the pulpit after being away, and Miss Patty led and the church helped to get me a car. And that car, I drove that car for what, over a year, maybe a year, something like that. And I love that car. And I would go to the mechanic to get something fixed, and he said, junk that car. It's junk. Don't keep it. I would go into the trunk, and you know how you lift up the trunk and take something out, and the car would come down like a guillotine. And if my head was in there, it'd be gone. But I want you to know I love that car, and I took care of that car. You say, why did you love that car, Pastor? No interest car payments. I don't like to pay interest on anything. I won't pay interest on anything because the Bible says that's stupid. And so that's why I love that car. And then finally I had to, it died. It totally died. It was gone. Well, Miss Patty again, she was working in her bank, and some guy came up to her and said, what was it, father-in-law that died? I think it was. Mother-in-law died, and there was a car left. It was a 2000 Chevy Malibu. That was how many years ago? Six, 7 years? I don't know. 6 years ago? Something like that. Anyway, he said, I'm looking for somebody to give that to, and she said, well, our pastor could use a car. He said, sure, I'll give it to him free. They helped me do all the work and got a car, Pastor Mobile, Chevy Malibu. Now, it has the roll-down windows. Air conditioner doesn't work. You open the windows for air. But I love that car. My wife will tell you. She has the nice car, the 2016 Elantra, Hyundai Elantra. She got that car. We got it almost new, just a year old or something. She drives that. We go together in family. We drive that. But I love that car. I took it to Philly, the airport that time. We went to Oklahoma. And you said, is it going to make it? Now, he's a millennial. That's why he said that. You know, it made it. It's still running. Now, I just had to put some money back into it a number of months ago, quite a bit of money. But John Payone helped me. But it was still a lot of money from another guy. Got that car really fixed up. I'm still driving it. Still driving it. I'll drive that car until. You say, why? Listen to me. This is the problem with Americans. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What God gives me, I love. What God gives me, I take care of. I know I can't take it with, but I enjoy it. I love it. I put my love into it. But Americans, they're all hyped up by watching commercials. Oh, you got to get this. You got to get that. You got to have more. And you don't have it. It's got you. And then you're going to have your health destroyed by all of that stuff. So you say, well, what do? You don't have car payments, even on her car. Her car was quite a bit. And we don't have car payments because I fast-forwarded and got out of debt and got out of interest and paid it off. Paid it off. Paid it off. So I haven't for years paid interest on a car or for a couple years on my house because I paid it off. And you say, well, amen. Amen to that. And you say, well, what do you do then with the money that you save on the car payment? Well, of course, I waste it on myself. No, I'm just kidding. I put it into an envelope. Look up here, amen. I put it in an envelope, listen, called Sinking Car Fund. Sinking Car Fund. And I've been doing that for a long time. You know, I now have enough money in that envelope after just a few years to buy an almost new car of some kind. Now, you say, how does that happen? Our dollar's losing value. It's inflating every year, especially after Biden and all that. You know what I do? When it gets to so much money, when it got to $1,000, I bought a gold coin with it. Then gold went up to $1,500. I bought another gold coin, put it in the envelope. When it went up to $3,000, bought another gold coin. Now it's up to like $3,400, Bobby, something like that. Anyway, those gold coins in that envelope, I'll cash them in when my wife needs a car. We'll get her a car. You say, what will you drive? Her car. Her nice car, man. I'll get air. It'll be great. I'm just saying to you, Americans are living above their means because they don't have godliness with contentment, and they are wasting their money. By the way, the Bible says when you get into that, a lot of times you got debts and you don't pay your debts on time. But the Bible says in Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything. So if you've been wasting money and late on debts, well, then you need to get it right and get envelope. I have car maintenance envelope. I have this envelope, that envelope. And listen, I have some in the bank that I say that's going to heat. And I got it saved up for the winter. Because it's going to be a lot, but it's in the bank. I know that's inflated right now, but it's going to be spent. I'm saying you need to have a budget and do that so you don't overspend and then you haven't paid your bills. And that is wrong. And you're leaking your money out by making, and you're owing people. And you know, if you are one day late, listen to me, you're one day late paying a bill, you're one day a crook. 2 days late paying a bill, you're 2 days a crook. I don't want to be one day late. I'd like to just have no credit, but I do have a credit rating. It's somewhere 8 point something. I'm just saying, friends, you need to fix your leaking of money. The Bible also says, listen to me, you also need to stop leaking your money by robbing God of tithes and offerings. You know how much the tithe is, right? That means give your tithes to God. No, I'm just kidding. That means give one-tenth of all your increase. When I first got saved, people would give me a birthday present. They'd give me money and they'd say, hey, I was just a young teen. They knew I would give 10% of that money to the Lord. So guess what they said? I don't want to give you a gift because you're going to give 10% of it away. I thought, how stupid. I'm doing what's right. You should want to give to me. It's a good investment. And so the Bible says that you can rob God in the book of Malachi by tithes and offerings. And, you know, do you give 10% off the top to the Lord in the local church or the house of God? If you don't, guess what? You're robbing God. Don't do that because you're really robbing from yourself. Because God said, if you don't rob me of tithes and offerings, I will rebuke the devourer. That means I'll stop you from wasting money down the drain, the church. Maybe what's happening in the church is because you've been robbing God. And he wants you to wake up. And then he says, not only that, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And we had a chapel, and I preached on this, and at the end of my chapel, I had Celeste here do tithes and offerings with pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, dollars, $10 bills, or $5 bills. 10 is next year. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. Anyway, at the end of it, I had a bunch of goodies, and I started throwing them at the kids. And I said, that's what God will do if you do what Celeste just did in this demonstration. And I say it to you, too. You can't outgive God. And so I'm just saying, I have offerings for faith promise missions. I have envelopes for, not envelopes, I put it in the bank and then I use it for RBCS scholarships, for bus, for soul winning, for Sunday school. I give all those kind of offerings. But first I give the tithe. It doesn't start till after the tithe. Hey, one of the offerings I've got, you know, every year we're having a spring campaign in October. We're going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner. I hope you're there. It's delicious. And everybody brings the food, and we have a wonderful dinner. Mrs. Bajeski does a great job of overseeing that, and it's just great. And it's a big day for us here. Thanksgiving at church, Noah. And we have that. But you know what we do that day? We give a once-a-year offering to the building fund. So this building that God has given us, now it's interest-free, no mortgage, we can take care of it. It was built 1885. We can take care of it. So that's how, we don't have bingo or anything like that. That's how we get it, by an offering, a love offering. An offering that you give is something you give out of love for the Lord. There's no amount on it. You just give it. So that's, I have an envelope for Joash Chest. And guess what? I've been saving it through the year, just like I have an envelope for Christmas, because my wife's going to come to me at Christmas, and she's going to say, I need spending money. Got it in the envelope. Been saving it all year since last Christmas. I'll give it to her. And same thing with Joash. Now, I got the money in there. I'm going to give it. See, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. God wants you to stop leaking away your time. God wants you to stop leaking away your money. Will you stop that? Because it's money down the drain. It is time down the drain, and you can never, ever get that back. Now, there's one more thing, and I'll end. You need to fix the leaks of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. When you get saved by Jesus, he gives you the greatest gift on earth, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of your heart, inside of your spirit. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will never leave you. Hey, sit up there, guy. Sit up. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. The Bible says he'll stay with you through all of life. If you're really saved, he'll never leave you. Even when you sin, he'll never leave you. But it makes him what? Very sad when you sin. You grieve him, and he pulls back when you grieve him. And some of you need to fix the fact that you're grieving the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know what grieving the Holy Spirit of God is? That means when you make him sad because you're not doing what he wants you to do. How do you know what he wants you to do? The Bible tells you so. The preacher preaches from the Bible to tell you so. And you're not doing it. And so he's grieved inside of you. That's why some of you are more sad than glad. That's why some of you lack joy. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I can joy in my God when I'm not grieving the Holy Spirit. But if I'm making the Holy Spirit sad, I'm not going to have joy in my life. Stop it, he says. Fix that leak of God's joy in your life, God's love in your life. And, you know, I had something. I had a few things that God said, hey, Pastor Bloom, you got to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. One of the things was my driving. I joke about it, and I say, I drive furiously like Jehu, son of Nimshi. But I don't think Jehu was saved. I think he was a man that was influenced by godliness, but he wasn't really saved. And I thought, you know, God is speaking to my heart about changing my driving to drive right around the speed limit, but 5 miles an hour over the speed, right there. And so God's been dealing with my heart on that. And I want to stop grieving the Holy Spirit, confess my sins and forsake them so I can have the Holy Spirit's fruit in my life. Because when you have the Holy Spirit fruit in your life, people see it. And when you start telling them about Jesus, they want to listen because they've seen something in your life. So this is the second Sunday of business year 2026. You need to commit to fix the leak in your life of grieving the Holy Spirit of God so often by going against what his will is. And the Holy Spirit also lives inside of you to prompt you to come to church and to respond to a message like this. And when you say, oh, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to be distracted. I'm going to slump down. I'm not going to listen. You know what you're doing? You're not just grieving the Holy Spirit. You're what? Quenching the Holy Spirit. What's that? That means you're throwing cold water on the fire. I'm preaching with fire. It's coming from my heart. Coming from the Holy Ghost. And you're throwing cold water on it, you people that are distracting my message. Did you hear me? You're throwing cold water on the Holy Spirit. And don't you let that kind of idiocy distract you, or you'll be quenching the Holy Spirit. And so I'm saying that we've got to stop grieving and stop quenching the Holy Spirit. If we sin, we need to be quick to admit our sin, say to God what it is, go to Christ Jesus, our high priest, and he'll cleanse us, and then ask God to fill us again with the Holy Spirit of God, and what a blessing that will be. And so our theme for the new business year is things you need to fix in 2026, and I'm talking about leaks that you need to fix. You need to fix the leaks of your time, the leaks of your money, and fix the leaks of the Holy Spirit in your life. You that are believers, are you willing to fix with the Lord's help today these leaks in your life? We have an altar here. Some of you need to fix your altar and come to the altar and really get things right with God. Not worry about what people think, but get things right with God. I'm going to ask that we bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And the first thing